There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
I want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Well, good clinch Friday morning. About damn time, guys. Boy, it took forever, but it got done last night. And thanks in large part to, it's going to be so hard to see him go, Carlos Correa coming through again for this team in a clutch situation. Had to have it. And that's all they got, again, was what Carlos gave them.
A three-run bomb. And then you hang on.
And that was it. Hang on. And hold on.
It's not what you want, but it doesn't matter today. And we'll worry about that later on if that's something to worry about, because today is about winning another division. And you look back to 15. Is 15's a turning point where all the horrific 100-loss, terrible baseball began to turn? It was just the beginning. Obviously, 15 was, you know, you had a team that struck out all the time, and they had Lance McCullers, and really Dallas Keuchel was the big one. And then as your Cy Young Award winner, a bunch of strikeout guys who could hit home runs. They were Crush City. And then in 16, you fell a little bit short, and in 17, you win a World Series. And the door's been open since 18, and since 15. And it's, you know, relatively – yeah, I mean, the door opened. The window opened in 15. And here we are in 2021. They're winning the division again. They're going to fall short of 100 wins, obviously. But it's been a good year. I think the when you look at it and the division's over and you start to get introspective, you realize the Astros they've learned something about themselves. I think what you have is a minor league system that has produced some young talent, so you don't have to freak out and panic and start buying old guys. On the free agent market, you've got some young pitchers who have stepped up unexpectedly. Carlos Correa, it was a show and prove year for Carlos Correa. He's been unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He's done everything that, you know, he's gotten himself a ton of money, and the Astros, Jeff Leno can go to sleep at night knowing that, boy, we nailed that pick. I mean, we nailed the Carlos Correa pick. It did take a little bit of time for Carlos, but he's just been unbelievable, and you know, the Astros are just the fans, watching the fans yesterday. On that strike them out, throw them out double play where Machete had a perfect throw down there. Carlos snap tag.
It was awesome.
Watching Machete and Carlos celebrate, watching the two of them celebrate separately.
You know, they're really good friends.
I didn't realize
they hang out. Yeah, they hang out a lot. Yeah.
Carlos was so hyped. And then it wasn't until later we saw a shot of how hype Machete was when they showed a replay, and when they showed the fans in the background.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the park during this series, midweek during the series.
It doesn't often happen.
During the series against the Rays, who are not a headline team in terms of star talent, but are obviously a headline team in terms of wins. It just shows the Astros fans wanted to be a part of something special.
Yeah.
And it's been really another fun year. The fun starts or stops in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Well, we need one more win. We've got to get one more win and have home field advantage against the White Sox. That's all you need. Magic number is one. And this is the last weekend, last three regular season games you'll see with Carlos Correa. And, boy, is he is money. Here's Carlos after the game about this team having to have this.
We're playing great teams on the stretch in Tampa and Oakland, and we want to make sure, you know, we got this win tonight, and we were able to do it. We had to fight through it, but we got the win at the end of the day. The team did a great job. Presley locking it down. Graveman, the bullpen, did an outstanding job, and we were able to come out with a win.
They sure did. And afterwards, Dusty, about, I'll tell you what, manager's going to miss this guy because he's so clutch. Here's Dusty on Carlos.
Carlos is a clutch man, you know, I mean, you know, he's big game Carlos to me. And this guy comes through time and time again. He believes he's going to come through. Because I remember last year in Minnesota, he says, I'm hitting one out here, to win this game. And he did. And, you take his defense for credit. For granted. I mean, this guy got a shotgun arm, an accurate shotgun arm, and he can pick it. And I'm just hoping that there's a way that, that we can retain and sign Carlos, because he's a big part of this team, not only on the field, but he's one of the real leaders on this team.
I don't know that that's going to happen. I'm not sure that the organization wants Dusty signing players on the field after, but that was it is. It's going to be hard to see him in another uniform playing against the Astros. You know how difficult that's going to be.
That's going to suck.
Yeah. This is worse than George, isn't it?
Yeah, it's worse than George. I didn't think it would be, because I like George better than Carlos in terms of, like, the boyish joy of – and he was the first Astro. He was the first young Astro. Obviously, Altuve was the first Astro of the new generation. But George was the first, like, hey, this comes from us. This is from our loins, our minor league loins.
Yeah. Well, number one overall pick, 1-1. That's pretty good.
I mean, he was our first. Carlos was. But I'm talking about George.
Oh yeah,
George was our first, like our firstborn.
Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah,
I mean of the young, like we can't wait to see this guy come up from the minors, and so yeah, I thought it would be him, but then Carlos, there's just I tell you what's really flipped on Carlos for me. Last year's postseason, when he. And every year he seems to, other than that year he had that freaky, cold spell in 18. But, man, last year when Carlos was just taking over the whole team as a leader, and that move where he went out and pushed an umpire out of the way and got in Fromber's face and got after him and showed that leadership, I'm like, oh, my God, this is El Rey.
Well, I certainly
can't. This is El Rey of the team.
I certainly can't blame Dusty for going, we really want – all Dusty knows about Carlos Correa is this dude comes up with every big hit.
Yeah.
The last 2 years in clutch situations, Carlos Correa has been unbelievable. And that's what you're going to miss most about him. I mean, he's having a career year, and he's been really, really good, and he's been healthy this whole year, and he was healthy for the 60 games last year. So maybe he's passed all those problems, and then again, maybe he's not. Maybe it's just because now it's contract time, and those guys, and that's what happens in contract time. Guys come up big. But he's had his struggles. He was going through up and coming into this game. He had not been hitting well. He was on a streak of 2-for-25.
Right.
After his streak before that was ridiculously terrible when he was, 1-for-32 or 33?
Yeah.
He went through that dry spell. And he's still up there with OPS and coming up with, and he comes up with a big hit. Even when he's slumping, he comes up with the huge hit that wins the game, that you had to get this thing over with Seattle. Seattle, by the way, you talked about the fans. Man, that was nice. 31,000, 32,000, 28,000 out there for these games. And during the week, which doesn't happen often, Seattle's in the middle of a fight. They're tied for the wild card with Boston. They are tied right now. That's how good Seattle has been playing. And they had 12,000 people out there. They had 17, 12, and 11,000 people out at their park for the last three. That's terrible.
That's just unbelievable.
That's terrible. I mean, Seattle, I know. It must be dangerous to go there. They don't have any cops, do they? Didn't everybody quit or something? Don't they have, like, the whole city? Isn't it burning? Congratulations, Seattle. You suck. You're a great place to live, except you ruined it. If it wasn't for the people in Seattle, it'd be a great place to live. So Astros clinch. Now they need one more to get home field advantage against the White Sox. James Click was there last night as well. You don't hear from Mr. Click all that often.
No.
He was there, and he still says, you know what, there's still work to be done.
Well, I mean, there's obviously always guys that are battling little things here and there. You can't say enough about Martin Maldonado stepping up and coming into this game, battling that shoulder. Getting a few days rest is obviously critical, getting to set ourselves up, explore a few things, see if some guys in some different roles can do some stuff over the next 3 days. We got a lot of things that that we can take a look at, but we got to make sure that we also lock up home field advantage. So we're right back here on Thursday.
Yep, got to be back. You want that home field against the White Sox. You absolutely want to have that home field against the White Sox. And the problem, man, I'm watching Jake Myers. Boys, he's squeezing the bat so hard. He is just – I wanted him to come through so bad last night just to you know, to lock
and,
up.
And that strikeout, I mean, it was a pipe shot right down right the middle.
Yeah.
You can't get a better pitch to hit in batting practice, and he missed it.
Yeah.
And he missed it by a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, my God. That was when he was 0-for-2 headed into that at-bat. He worked a 3-2 count. And, I mean, it's right down the middle, and he just can't hit a fastball down the middle. He couldn't make contact with it. And it's just – it's too bad. I worry that – I mean, I think he's going to play himself off the playoff roster.
I don't know if he's off the roster, but he certainly is scuffling so badly that it's going to be awfully
– I mean, I just don't think you can give him ABs.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? You haven't given him – this September has been – and listen, it's hard. He's had enough at-bats to give you a sample size this month, but it's been in and out of the lineup so much. It's awfully difficult, but I could certainly see where he would not – there's a possibility he's not on the roster. Although, you love his speed and you love his defense. So, a late defensive replacement, I would rather have him – I love series upside, his potential, his flair for the dramatics, all of that. But I would give me somebody that's more consistent, and I think Jake is more consistent, although he just doesn't look he looks bad at
how
the
many
plate
pitchers,
right now.
How many pitchers do you think they keep? 26-man roster. Last year they kept
– probably like, it's going to be 14 and 12.
12 pitchers.
No, 14 pitchers.
No, 12. They won't do 14 pitchers. The only time they ever did that was last year when they had to play every day. I went back and looked. It's always been either
But of course,
11. Yeah,
they've
primarily
never done that.
11.
But last year, don't forget, is the first time you had 26, not 25.
Right.
So yeah. They've done 13 pitchers before.
No, it was almost never. It's almost always 11 and 12.
11 and 12.
Yeah. Yeah. I went back and searched all the playoff dating back to 17. I'm just going 17, 18, 19. 20, you had to play every day, so you had to have more pitchers. I don't think they're going to keep, I think 12 might be the number. It's hard to say because AJ would keep 11, and then as the playoffs went deeper, he would go add a pitcher.
Add a pitcher.
They one kept time 12 I had, last year.
How much?
12.
It was only 12 last year?
Yeah. 12 last year on the...
Cy Snead on the playoff roster.
Oh, gross.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Which one was that? Which roster was that?
That was for the wild card series against the Twins. So
I think they
added one more for the following
series.
Okay,
well, let's call it 12 pitchers.
Well, that's not the wild card. That's the division. Oh, no, the wild card was one game.
Yeah, it was just that one game.
One game.
So that's probably
then they added one more, I think, after that.
Let's call it 14 position and 12 pitchers. When we come back, I want to go through, because I think this is to me, a very interesting discussion, because I think there are some hard, hard decisions for the Astros. So I want to go through and get your playoff roster here. But I want to let the listeners, you guys can jump in on this if you want to argue with us at any point about any of these. 713-780-3776. We've got Greg Cosell coming up at the bottom of the hour talking some pro football. And speaking of pro football, I guess it also, besides just playoff roster, we had a game yesterday featuring, it's been a little while, but we've had a game featuring 1-1s, meaning first round, first pick in the last two drafts squared off yesterday. Yep. You know what? They lived up to their draft billing yesterday.
They really did. They both played pretty well. Time to talk about, and I don't know. I'm telling you, you just don't know. I took the Bengals in the first half last night. Loser. Oh, well. Look, I lost. That's okay. You know what? The Jags in the first half have been covering. That might be a trend that you're looking for. They were covering against the Cardinals, and they covered last night against the Bengals in the first half. So they're fast starters. They're slower in the second half. Here's the deal. Now you know that. You're armed with that. You go to mybookie.ag, promo code bet975, and you play, and you win, and you get paid. The trend is your friend. So if you're seeing something that's trending, jump on it and enjoy and win and get paid. And that's what happens at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. And it doesn't matter if you're a current customer, if you used to be a customer, or you've never been a customer, no matter what, if you deposit right now, up to $1,000, they will match every dollar of that. Now, you can deposit more than that, but they'll only match up to $1,000. So it's happening right now at mybookie.ag, promo code bet975. Get there. Mybookie.ag, promo code bet975.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. Greg Gosell at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 97.5. But we got a clinching, an AL West champion. Once again, four of the last 5 years, they have clinched the AL West. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. This is off. This TV's off. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here to hang out with us. You want to go over the roster. And if you disagree, you're more than welcome to get in here on anything that we say here. You're more than welcome to get in here and discuss. 713-780-3776. So we know the regulars. It's going to be Yuli, Altuve, Correa, Bregman, Machete. It's going to be Yordan. It's going to be Brantley, Tucker. It's going to be Diaz. It's going to be Castro. There's 10. Now, none of them are center fielders. Okay, so there's 10 of the possible 14.
No. I think you're missing somebody.
Yeah, it's because I think it's still 28 players.
No, it's 26.
It's 26?
Yeah. Okay. So Machete, Yuli, Altuve, Carlos Bregman, Tucker, McCormick.
I didn't say anybody in center field yet.
Oh, that's why you have 10. Okay, yeah. I thought you had a center fielder. Yeah. We'll put a center fielder.
Okay. It's going to be McCormick's definitely on the roster. That's a lot.
Okay, so let's make him starting center fielder.
Okay.
Brantley, Yordan.
Yep.
Okay, that's 9.
Well, I got
2,
Castro,
4,
Machete.
6, 8, 9. Now you go Castro, 10.
Sure. Diaz.
For sure. That's 11. 11. Yep. So you have 14. You're three
That's
to
11.
The three, yeah, four, 14 total. The three to choose from are Marwin, Jake, and Siri. Two of those three. That's what it comes down to, more than likely. I think they'll go 14 and 12. So if that's what you do, who do you leave out?
Well, I've got 11, and so three more would be 14.
You didn't say Siri. Okay, count this on your fingers. Let's just go starters. Machete, Yuli, Altuve, Carlos, Bregman, Tucker, McCormick, Brantley, Yordan. That's 9. Castro, 10. Diaz.
11.
11. Oh, yeah, I guess you're.
So, and three more would be,
Okay, so would you take Marwin, Jake, and Siri, all of them?
Yeah, all of them.
Okay. Why not? Well, then let's get to, I guess you're right. I don't know what I was, I don't think I was adding any. And there's really no one else on the roster.
No.
There's really no one else on the
that
roster
you would,
right
now. Possibly a third catcher.
Well, I mean, Garrett Stubbs, you
if
bring
you,
him up.
Yeah, if you wanted to bring him up, if. Yeah.
You know,
but
that is a position that if there's an injury,
not only
you're
that,
screwed.
But Castro, you might have to pinch hit him for a center fielder.
Do you have any emergency? Yeah, you can't really use him as a pinch hitter unless you want to replace him, which is. You know, certainly.
And guess what? Castro
doable.
Deserves a if it's the eighth or ninth.
Stubbs
inning.
Over Jake. I'm assuming Marwin and Siri in.
Of course, you could pinch hit Marwin too. I guess if you wanted to, pinch hit Diaz as well. So you can keep Castro, and you can pinch hit Castro for Maldonado. God forbid anything happens to Castro, but if that's the case. You know, you've been mostly two catchers for the most part. A lot of times teams will take three catchers in the postseason, though.
All right, so McCullers, Fromber. You know, there's a chance it's the exact same roster it is now. McCullers, Fromber, Urquidy Garcia.
Those are your four starters.
Okay, and then you've got
Odorizzi.
Presley, Graveman, Stanek on the from the back end.
That's seven.
Odorizzi is going to be there.
Odorizzi will be there. Grinke will be there.
Grinke's going to be there.
That's nine.
That's nine.
I think Rayleigh's going to be there. That's 10.
10.
I think
Javier.
Javier probably 11. Is there. 11.
Now, Maton, Taylor, or Yimi?
I'd go Taylor. Maton has been, although he's
traded for Yimi and you can't even put him on the roster.
You can't put him on the roster. I'm going. Maton has been a disaster. Although he loves him against left-handers. He loves Maton. I don't know what it is about him, but Dusty does, and maybe that's something that Click is just going to have to take that toy away. He's just got to take it away from him, like he took Straw away from him. You know, the guys Joel and them were discussing yesterday the trade, the Straw trade. Straw has been better offensively. Straw is obviously a pretty good defensive center fielder, and Maton has been a disaster. Was that trade a bad trade, Maton for Straw?
No, because it allowed you the pathway to get Jake Myers and Jose Siria.
Yeah, but Jake, guess what? Straw has been better offensively than both those guys.
But Straw would not be. I don't think Straw would be a factor. I mean, he could be, but. No, I can't say it was a bad trade. At the time, you needed – I like the idea behind it. The idea behind it was you knew you had outfielders coming up, which you did, and both those guys played really well at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Straw hasn't been better offensively than Siri. Well, Siri has a very small sample size. No, I don't think so. You needed bullpen help. I can't go back and double back on that like that was a bad trade. It was a trade where – Maton hasn't always lived up to it, obviously, and he was not considered considered another arm in the bullpen. But no, I don't have a problem with it. You would like Maton to pitch better, but I'd rather have Siri and McCormick have a pathway to. You would never have said that 2 weeks ago.
No. But Maton has been
By the way,
he loves him against. And Dusty keeps saying, "Oh, I like Maton against lefties." Except, well, they're hitting .228 against him. A .318 on base, a .722 OPS. It's not bad. Against righties, he's at 8. For whatever reason, Maton is opposite of what he should be. Against right-handers, he got an .815 OPS, which is not good. They're hitting .276. And against lefties, they're hitting .228 with a .722 OPS, which is inexplicable.
And by the way, Blake Taylor, I kind of have a favorable feeling about him, but I think it's just based on last year. In September, he's pitched 9 innings total. He's had, obviously, several appearances. 9 innings, 6 walks, 5 strikeouts.
Yeah.
He's just not punching people out. He's not getting a swing and miss as he did last year. I think he might have a harder time than Maton just because I feel like I'll have to take a look at Maton to see. Not giving up a ton of runs, at least earned runs on his – on his ticket.
Brings Maton in a lot of times, but we've seen him, you know, they're only hitting .228, but it seems like he brings him in huge situations against left-handers, and they always come through in those really big situations. So that's what we're looking at with Maton, although he has been effective against lefties. He's been very effective. So it's really, but not in big situations. I don't know what the deal is. I mean, usually it's a good left-handed hitter, I guess, in a clutch situation, and for whatever reason they're coming through against him. Yeah, Blake Taylor has not been good. It's a hodgepodge. You just throw somebody out there. What the hell?
You do that every play.
It was good to see Graveman early on. His first couple of pitches were like, holy crap, dude! What did you do during paternity leave?
I mean, look. My other nickname, other than the numbers guy, is Mr. Baseball. That's my other nickname. And I could tell you, the arm slot, he was dropping it down, and then the ball was sailing.
Lance Stromme? Is that your name?
Lance Stromme. Yes. Okay. It's a sandwich that Rangel has on Wednesdays. He was dropping his shoulder, and then the ball was sailing on
Stromme.
But no, on a serious note, though, the ball was just... just taking off and sailing on him. I mean, it was lively, but it was all over the place. So
he settled in though.
How about Presley? You get an error by Altuve. It's going to be a double play. First, here comes Rosarena. Oh, my God. Please just don't give him a pitch. Don't give him a pitch. Okay, walked him. Like, God, don't put him on base.
Well, yeah. I would much rather
Altuve,
have
Altuve, double play. Nice. Oh, he boots it. And now I'm thinking, oh, my God. And then the very next pitch was about 7 feet over Machete's head that he somehow grabbed it. And I'm just thinking, this is not going to be good. Oh, no.
No, that was great.
No, it was a bad pitch. And then I'm just, and then you get the ground out. You get the ground out. Or was it? No, it was a double play.
Yeah,
you do get the double play. Bang, bang, double play. And a great turn by everyone involved. By the way, they showed a highlight of Craig Biggio. Did you see that?
No.
They were highlighting his last game where he had got it, you know, or when he got his 3,060th hit, and they showed him turning a double play. It is the most glacial movements I have ever seen in baseball.
Well,
when you see how fast Carlos is and how fast Altuve is, watching Craig Biggio turn it up, I texted Berkman. I said, did you ever have a chance to catch a cat nap on double play throws from Craig Biggio? Yeah, sometime I was able to go into the dugout and get a quick sandwich, too. I said, that's what made him a good teammate.
Yep.
Consider it. He said, yes, that's right.
It's 727 ESPN 97.5. Greg Cosell joining us on the other side right here. So we'll talk a little football, a lot of football, in the next couple of segments. And then we'll get back to Astros baseball. You can call in then at 713-780-3776. In the meantime, I want to talk about Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite. If you're looking for the best way to improve that home, to improve that business, and this is something that you have to do. It's something that we did with our home, and guess what? It paid off. It paid off in spades. I'm telling you, when you got an outdoor kitchen, we put in a pool. And right now, if you're not putting in a pool, it used to be that pools were not all that beneficial to selling. Now you got to have a pool, and you have to have an outdoor kitchen, and you have to upgrade that kitchen, and you have to upgrade those bathrooms. If you've been living in this place, or you've been working in this place, or you own this place, a business for 15, 20 years, and you haven't done anything to it, people, you got to turn this thing around. All you got to do is call Jeff Aronoff and let him come and upgrade. And I'm telling you, it pays off when you're trying to sell that business or that home. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Greg Cosell, as he does every week right here on ESPN 97.5, senior producer for NFL Films and NFL analyst, joining us here for a couple segments to talk NFL football. Greg, welcome back to the show. How are you?
John, what's going on, my man?
So we're celebrating another Astros division title, Gregor. You watch any baseball, or are you just football?
Oh, no, I was a baseball player. Baseball was actually my sport growing up. So, I get really a chance to watch much of it, but I follow it.
Yankees or Mets?
I grew up a big Mets fan.
But oh, don't funny. Tell me you're also a Jets fan and not a Giants fan. Seems like child abuse.
It's funny you say that, because when I grew up, I was a big New York Mets fan. I was a big New York Knicks fan. But in football, I didn't really have a team. I actually, growing up, loved watching the old AFL, and I did not necessarily have a team in football. But I kind of lost my allegiance to specific teams. Now I'm not passionate about any team. It kind of ended, let's see, the last time I was a big, big Mets fan was back in the Gooden Strawberry days.
Oh, yeah.
I think. Oh man, that was a hell of a team. They beat the Astros.
Yeah, I don't know if you were around, but '69, you must have had a huge year in '69.
Actually, I grew up in Queens, in New York, and I was a very big St. John's University basketball fan.
Sure.
I lived 5 minutes from St. John's. It was before the Big East. And when the Big East was really good, obviously it became really good, but it was before that, and all the games were at their little arena, Alumni Hall, and we had season tickets, my dad and I, and we sat three rows behind Louis Carnesecca.
Were you fans of, were you fans
a sweater fan.
Were you a fan of the of 80s college basketball?
Oh, my guy for those years was Chris Mullin.
Yeah. Walter
at
Berry,
St. John's in the mid-'80s, because it was Mullin, Patrick Ewing was at Georgetown then, yep. Dwayne Pearl Washington was at Syracuse. That was the Big East at its finest.
Oh, it was unbelievable basketball. We got to get you hooked up with Jeff Van Gundy sometime. You know, Jeff Van Gundy's a friend of the show, and he is...
Oh, I'd love to... You know what? I love listening to him. I would love to meet him and talk to him.
We'll try to make that happen, because Jeff is a huge... football fan. He's been a Texan season ticket holder, but he's very tight with Bill Parcells, and he's learned a lot from Bill Parcells over the years.
Well, I love listening to Jeff. I mean, it's obvious how much he knows basketball and just the way he thinks about it, and that's the way I think about football, so I would love to get to know him.
All right, let's get to it now. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, with us here every week, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Texans head to the Bills. Brandon Cooks versus Tre'Davious White. What do you think about the matchup?
Maybe. One thing about the Bills is they don't always match up White. They don't always use him as a matchup corner. It's more rare that they do that than not. So I'm not saying it won't happen, because they've done it in the past, but they don't always do that. White normally is their boundary corner. Now, could he match up? You know, if Cooks is the boundary X on occasion, which he is, then you'll get the matchup. I don't know if he will follow him and travel with him. He may, but that's not a given based on what the Bills' history has been with White under Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier.
Yeah. White has given up 4 15-yard-plus receptions this year, and Cooks can run downfield. So if it is a matchup, I would expect they would try to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I mean, White's a very good corner. I think Lance probably remembers when he came out, one reason he was not a top 10 pick is he was really disciplined and refined, but just physically, you didn't look at him and say, those are special traits, because he's not that big and he was not a burner. But he really, I mean, he's so good in zone coverage because he has tremendous eye discipline, tremendous awareness of routes, understands receiver splits and what that means as far as playing routes. And he's a good man corner. It's not as if he can't play man, but he doesn't have those traits we think of as exceptional when you talk about pure man corners.
I loved him coming out. I thought he had great mirror and match feet. Like you said, his route recognition and anticipation. He could run routes for guys. You are right. And he had good, it turned out to be pretty good speed. He was not a big physical guy. I know the concern was, is he going to be able to hold up and run support? But the one thing I've noticed, Greg, is that, you know, we've seen this with, you either need to be a playmaker or you need to be able to squeeze routes, one or the other. And like, I thought Griffin did a great job yesterday on Ja'Marr Chase for the most part of squeezing those routes with him. And he was playing man, but boy, it's one thing that John brought up with Sage Rosenfels when we had him earlier. And I think John hits it on the head. You've probably watched some of these games is, you know, it's okay to play zone, but you need to be better in zone than the Texans have been. In other words, Tre'Davious White, when you understand routes and you have anticipation and instincts and you're reading quarterback's eyes, you're more likely to squeeze a route. And just because you're in zone doesn't mean, you know, you're not playing man. It's still the same man principles
Lance, you make a great point, because understand this, that every zone has voids. And the coaches that play a lot of zone, like Lovey, they know what the voids are. It's not a surprise. So the question is, how do you squeeze those voids based on the route concepts that you anticipate that you're going to get? I mean, I don't know if you guys happened to see any of the Minnesota-Seattle game last Sunday. I watched the tape, and Seattle right now is struggling mightily playing zone coverage. They would prefer to play zone because they're not really comfortable with their outside corners, Reed and Flowers, matching up man-to-man, so they play zone. But they are just giving up so much. Receivers are wide open in their zones, and that just can't happen if you're going to play zone. You have to understand what route concepts can beat you and therefore somewhat take those away. Will you get beat once in a while? Yes, because there are voids. Otherwise, everybody would play the same zone. So there are voids in every zone. But you have to understand where those voids are and how to take them away.
Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John Feliciano is banged up. Greg. The interior of the Bills' offensive line has been giving up a lot of pressure, but Josh Allen still has done a nice job against that. And without Feliciano, what do you see with this offensive line?
Yeah, and I don't think the offensive line is the strength of this offense. I think that they actually did a very good job last week, surprisingly so, against a Washington front four that also, surprisingly so, has not been very good rushing the quarterback this year. You know, we all thought that would be perhaps the strength of their team and one of the strengths in the league, but they have not really done a good job rushing the quarterback. They didn't do a good job against Daniel Jones 2 weeks ago. They didn't really do a good job against Josh Allen this week. The Bills' O-line actually played well in pass protection this past week, but I don't view that as the strength of their team. Obviously, Josh Allen can move around and make things happen. And this past week, we saw Josh Allen look much more like the Josh Allen of 2020, playing with more pocket efficiency, more control in his movements, far better ball location. The thing is, if Lovie's going to continue to play such a high percentage of cover two, there's just such a predictability to the coverage that it's, by NFL standards, it becomes easier for the quarterback and the offense.
Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What did you see watching Davis Mills this past week?
Yeah, you know what? I thought Davis Mills was pretty good, actually. I think there's a calmness to him. I think that he understands where to go with the ball. I think he has a sense of where second and third reads are. He got caught a couple of times, but you would expect that. It was only the second time he played in his first NFL start. But I did not think that he looked overmatched. I did not think – the one thing I noticed with a lot of young quarterbacks is they play fast, and I don't think he played fast. I think he played relatively comfortably. He made some good throws. Look, the touchdown to Miller was only a one-yarder, but that was actually a second read. That was not the design of the play. When he hit Cooks, it might have been on the same drive, when he hit Cooks on about the 30-yard play, as I recall, that he came off the primary and he showed vision. I think he shows vision in the pocket. I don't think he's one of those quarterbacks where it happens so fast that he doesn't see things.
Greg Cosell is our guest from NFL Films. Greg, I think watching that we'll get to Tampa and New England in our next segment. I want to stop for a second and talk Tampa and the Rams. And you know, the big talk has been about Matt Stafford going to the Rams. And you know, I could see where people would think maybe that's being overdone. And what Sean McVay just talked about, he's made me a better coach already. It's with this, but when you watch the game, like, the difference between Goff and Stafford is so night and day for that offense. You really saw it on the field last week, what Stafford brings to the table. And it's a shame that he spent so much of his career really just buried with the Lions.
Yes, well, Stafford, you know this, Lance. Stafford, in terms of personnel people and players, has always been highly
rare
regarded.
Rare stuff.
Yeah, fans don't see it that way because he hasn't won a playoff game, so they automatically think he's no good. But he is a high-level talent. He's very, very intelligent. I know coaches who've coached him, and they talk about how intelligent he is. You know, I've met him once in my life, but obviously that's not enough to know what he is, but that's what I hear. And I think just his throwing ability, one thing they're doing a lot of this year through three games, they have more snaps in empty sets than any team in the league. And I think with someone like Stafford, that you can do that. Because one thing empty does, we always hear people say, well, the defense has to declare. It's not only the defense has to declare, guys. You get tendency predictability of coverage when you go empty, because teams in response to empty don't play eight different coverages. In response to empty, they might play one or two coverages. So you get tendency predictability of coverage, and that really helps a quarterback, because what you're trying to do with every quarterback is you're trying to get him as much information as possible before the ball is snapped.
It's Greg Cosell. When we come back, we're going to dig into a few more of the games and obviously get to Tom Brady versus Bill Belichick and the matchup of defensive mastermind versus the greatest quarterback and one of the greatest athletes that's ever lived. Greatest player of a sport. Greatest player of a sport. Is that what I have to call it?
Yeah.
Greatest sport participant? Okay. We'll do that. Allstate Windows and Siding, they are one of the greatest that's ever lived here in Houston when it comes to siding and windows game. I think that's fair to say. I'm going to say it whether you like it or not. 50 years in the business. It's family-run business. You can call them at 832-204-1936. I'm going to give you that number here again in a second. This is what you need to know. The windows are double pane, double strength, that they're made high quality. There are some cheap double pane windows that are not double strength, and there are a lot of them on the market. These windows are made to withstand up to 130 miles an hour of wind, and that's just kind of their standard windows. There's even stronger windows than that that they have for the coastline. They provide a greater level of safety, security, soundproofing, and most importantly to me, you also get the ability to have them retrofit in your windows when they take the old windows out, and so you don't have all that dust getting into your home or the air conditioning leaking out of your home. Make your home more energy efficient, safer, and you know what? It just looks a lot better with windows from Allstate Siding and Windows. And, of course, they can handle all the siding for your home as well and upgrade the exterior of your home. 25% off windows and $2,000 off of complete siding jobs are available at AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Time to talk some NFL with NFL Film Zone Greg Cosell on the bench from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Greg Cosell, NFL Films with us here breaking down. Let's break down. Let's talk a little bit about what's going to go on with Brady versus Belichick. You mentioned it. Two of Brady's worst passing games came against Belichick disciples. He against Brian Flores in week 17 of 2019, he had a 40.4 passing grade. And again, 2018, week 3 against Matt Patricia, against the Lions, he didn't throw well.
Does it say what they did?
It doesn't say. It just they're disciples of Belichick.
We got a guy who watches film. Do you?
Well, I don't remember those games specifically, so okay. I can't speak to that.
But. Well, but what about Belichick's defense versus Brady?
Well, you know, I've been asked about that a lot this week, and I don't know. I mean, what he's done very often in the past when he plays teams that have a lot of weapons is he chooses who he wants to take away, and then he makes you go elsewhere. But I think the Bucks have too many weapons to just... You could certainly say, let's take away Evans, let's take away Godwin, let's take away Gronk. I've been trying to think of who he feels, based on the design of this offense, who he would take away. This is one, to be honest with you guys, I've been thinking about this all week, and I can't get in Belichick's head here, and I'm struggling a bit. I don't think pressure will be a major, major part of it, because if you pressure, it would have to be selective, and it would have to be specific kinds of pressure where you're not compromising coverage, because you don't want to lose bodies in coverage.
Are they going to be a man? Are they going to be a man team or a zone? Do you think they'll mix it up, or are they going to be primarily a man?
Well, I would think that they play more zone than they normally do. But again, okay, as you mentioned earlier in the first segment, Lance, all zones end up having matchup principles. So if people just think about zone with players standing in one spot, you know, landmark spots, not a lot of teams play those kinds of zones anymore in the NFL where players just stand there. So there could be zone principles that are the start of the play, but there will be matchup elements to it.
Greg Cosell with us here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brady's going to have his focus on that's certainly for sure. It'll be interesting to see if they can hang with it. What have you seen so far from Mac Jones?
Yeah, I think probably what we all knew coming out. I think that he has an innate feel in the pocket. He does not break down his fundamental mechanics when there are people around him. He stands. He will deliver the ball. But we also see that he has some limitations as a passer with his ability to drive the ball. So the question becomes not what his limitation is, because I think everybody knew that. The question becomes, how can you minimize that limitation with what you do? You know, what are the workarounds, particularly on third down? He's been the most blitzed quarterback in the NFL on third down, and he's not been that successful. Now, you're not just blitzing him, obviously, because they don't have great weapons on the perimeter. So it's not just, oh, let's blitz Mac Jones, but it is a full offense, and within the context of that offense, he's been blitzed more than any quarterback on third down.
This is, I think it's a, when my dad was with Cleveland, I remember he told me, his O-line coach with Cleveland in the early 2000s, and he said when he faced Bill Belichick, he said, you could watch as much tape as you wanted to, you were never going to see the same blitz concepts on tape from previous games that you were going to see in your own game.
He said it was
impossible because
that. Yeah, that's why it's so hard, Lance, because, you know, I'm not as smart as Bill Belichick. And, you know, people are like, you guys said, you know, what do you think Belichick's going to do? I'm just being honest. I don't know. We can say what things he's done in the past, but he's not likely to do those things the same way. Maybe there'll be principles and concepts of things he's done in the past, but it won't be done the same way.
Well, so, okay, I want to ask you about this. This kind of will geek out in the X's and O's category, territory here, but I've now heard Chris Collinsworth say this, and I think Peyton and Eli both said it on the Manning cast. They both talked about the amount of cover two and even, you know, cover four, you know, quarters coverage, the shell coverage, where the corners are back in zone, the safeties are deep. You know, it's basically keeping everything in front of you. They've talked about there's a real proliferation of this right now in the NFL.
There is.
Where teams, can you talk about that and yes. How hard it is? I know Peyton Manning made it look, and Drew Brees made it look easy for you, and also Brady, Manning, and Brees, but it is hard to have long, sustained drives in the NFL.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons, but there's definitely been an incremental increase over the last number of years in split safety coverage, meaning two-shell coverage, whether it's cover four, cover six, which is quarter, half, or cover two. And one of the reasons, I think, is you hit one of the reasons on the head, but the other factor, just from more of an X and O standpoint, is you take away the seams. It's really difficult to defend the seams in single high safety, unless you're going to carry. You know, and we know that that's been a Nick Saban thing for years and years, where you carry the seams, because otherwise you're giving up the seams. And good quarterbacks can manipulate the single high safety, and you can get seam throws. So now you take away the seams, and they tend to be big plays as well. So obviously the goal is, as you said, number one, to make a great quarterback hand the ball off. I mean, look what the Cowboys have done the last 2 weeks. It's been very successful. They played the Chargers and the Eagles. Both those teams played a preponderance of split safety, and they were very comfortable handing the ball to Zeke and Tony Pollard, and they had success. Look what Aaron Rodgers did on Monday night against the Lions, I believe. It was against the Lions, and they played a lot of split safety, and they handed the ball off. Now, at some point, you do want to throw it, but that's what defenses are trying to do. Now, it's very interesting, because this past week, the Chargers played a really high percentage of man-to-man coverage against the Chiefs, and most people would say, you can't play the Chiefs that way, and yet they had success doing that.
Greg Cosell with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I want to talk for a minute. Greg, he's not putting up huge numbers, but I don't know that there's anybody more disruptive right now than Max Crosby and the pressure that they're getting without blitzing for the most part.
And that's the key part, John, is this team has a very low blitz percentage relative to other NFL teams. So they're getting four-man pressure. And don't forget Ngakoue on the other side. He's a very disruptive player as well. So they've got two edge rushers who are very, very disruptive, and they're squeezing and collapsing pockets and making it difficult for quarterbacks. Because, as you guys know, if you talk to defensive coaches, they don't say, oh, we have to sack the quarterback, because if you have a great day, you're getting four sacks out of, you know, 45 dropbacks. So it's not the sack per se. It's speeding up the process of the quarterback. That's what teams are trying to do. I remember having this conversation years ago with Dick LeBeau, and he said, look, you know, I create things not necessarily to sack him, but I got to speed him up. I got to make him play too fast. And that's what starts to happen. Because so more and more quarterbacks now are not pure pocket players, and they're not willing to stand there when there are bodies around them in the cauldron of fire. They move. And once the play becomes kind of random, you know, sure, there are quarterbacks that can make those plays. Of course there are. But you feel much better when the structure of the offense gets broken down.
Yeah. And, you know, I wondered, watching some of that, the game Justin Fields had, you know, it's almost a little unfair to just isolate that game. But you could tell the Browns realized if we pressure him, the eyes are going to drop. And then the difference is you got two mega athletes in Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett. And a lot of time they were bringing, you know, they were blitzing with nickels off the edge as well to kind of contain them a little bit. But you could see their whole concept was heat him up and he is going to struggle with beating us with quick decisions. And
well, it's funny you say that because that's what they tried to do, the Bears. They did a lot of quick game, you know, which is a smart thing to do because you don't want Fields to have to be a reader of defense. So they went with a lot of quick game as their foundation, and some of those throws got taken away. Others he did not make that were indeed there. Look, right now Fields, it just doesn't see things. This is one game, and I keep telling people that all this week. This is not a statement about his career. This is one game, and maybe he's not ready. You know, that is possible. He's not seeing things particularly clearly. He locked on. I don't think he has an innate sense at this moment in time of what open means in the NFL. Young quarterbacks have to work through that.
he's struggling with that, and so is Zach Wilson. Is he going to get it, Greg?
I mean, look, I think both guys will. Although I will say this, I think we all know just from experience that it's not likely all five first-round quarterbacks are going to become stars, you know, Hall of Fame stars. You know, Zach Wilson is another guy. His game is a little loose, a little undisciplined. His drops oftentimes have not matched up and sunk up with the receiver's routes. These are details. These are nuances. This is the disciplined craft and nature of the position, which is what the position is. So many have gotten caught up now in, oh, he can run around and make plays. But if you can't make the layups, then the 30-foot three-pointers, they're not enough.
Yep. Greg Cosell every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Greg, talking to you, Greg, again, and we will we'll look at this week's games next week. Thanks for hanging with us.
I appreciate it, guys. Love it.
Greg Cosell every week right here, ESPN 97.5.
I love talking to Greg. I love talking to people who have used carsforkids.org because they one person who actually sent me a direct message on Twitter the other day is like, you know, I'm glad that I'm doing something for kids, but I didn't think I was ever going to be able to get this old truck. It's rusted out off my property. And I got it. And they're like, yeah, Cars for Kids came out and took the truck. He goes, I don't know if they're going to do anything with it, but I got the tax write-off and I mentioned your name. I got the Visa gift card. That's how it works. When you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a Visa gift card for $50, but you do get a tax write-off so that you can write off the car, not the kid. And whether you have a vehicle that's running or not running, you know, if it's running, hey, that's great too. They are going to use that to help fund the Houston Can Academy. They're doing a lot of great things in terms of helping young people have a second opportunity at education. Make sure that you go to the website and check it out for yourself at carsforkids.org. But don't forget, they'll come out and pick up pickup truck, SUV, RV, car, motorcycle. It doesn't matter. And you are going to get the tax write-off. It's carsforkids.org.
ESPN 97.5.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready.
Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.